people today, they don't see any benefit of the church. They are, kind of like I said, when it comes to, when you get born again, there is no longer a you. It's we. It's us. It's them. I mean, that's all the way from, you know, the beginning to the end of the church, as far as the book of Revelation. The Bible says that you are not even your own anymore. Once you get born again, the Bible says you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, right? So you don't even belong to yourself. There's absolutely nothing, not even your own physical body, you, that belongs to just you, right? He owns everything. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Matthew 16. This is our context verse. This is what we're basing everything else off of. It's in red. Jesus himself said it. Verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Revealed what? Of who he is.
Right.
That he is the Christ, right? That he is God's Son and he is the anointed one. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, what rock? The revelation knowledge, not Peter. We know later on Peter himself denied Jesus, right? He wasn't a rock at the time.
Right.
But he's talking about the revelation of who he is. And everybody that's born again has had a revelation of who he is. If you haven't, you're not born again.
Right.
You can't. Right? He goes on and he says, 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This is not a present tense word. This is future. If you say, I will do something, that means you ain't done it yet. Right?
Right.
So this hasn't happened yet, but this is something he says he's going to do. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, talking about the church, of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Excuse me. Now let's look at Acts 1. There was no church before the book of Acts.
Right.
You will not even find a word other than here where Jesus is referenced and what he's going to do. And we're going to, I got a lot of reading this morning if we get to it, so we're going to skip around a little bit on these. But Acts 1, I'm going to start reading for time's sake in verse 4. Now, Jesus, at this point, Jesus has already been beaten, crucified, you know, buried and raised from the dead, and he's shown himself to his disciples, and we're going to pick it up in verse 4. And being assembled together, did y'all notice that? And being assembled together with them, talking about they're assembled, and Jesus came in there with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come, what?
Together.
They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then it goes on and says, when he got through speaking these things, he was taken up. Now, we're going to pick it up back up in verse 12. It says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. That's all of them, right? It goes on and tells the names. It says, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with what?
One accord.
One accord. That don't just, that's not just talking about like all of us are in this room this morning. That would be all of us in this room together, and our hearts and minds are for one purpose. It says, with one accord in prayer and supplication. With the women, so it wasn't just the 11 apostles up there. It says, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up. Y'all know the story, you know, Judas killed himself and all that. So Peter stands up, you know, and saying, you know, there should be somebody added. And they add, what was his name, Matthias, I think it was. So we're going to skip all of that. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what?
One accord.
One accord, where?
In one place.
Some was at church, some was at home, some was at Gunnersville on the boat, some was at the flea market. Really? A lot of people think that's what the way the church can be today. That's not the way it started, and that's not the way it's ever supposed to be. It says, when they were all with one accord in one place, where Jesus had told them to be, right? It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So it didn't go all the way to Gunnersville.
Right.
It didn't go on their boat. It didn't go in their bed sheets. Right?
Right.
It only, the Holy Ghost only came and manifested and lit on those that was where Jesus told them to be. Do you really think anything different is happening today?
Nope.
Of course not. God doesn't change his plan. He doesn't change his ways for anybody. If you are in, if you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing, God's not going to thwart all of his plans and run over there, tell the Holy Ghost, run over there to that disobedient and make sure they get what I promised them. Right? No, of course he's not. He didn't do it then and he doesn't do it now. It goes on and it says, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it goes on and it talks about how that there was different ethnic groups and all that, Jews and Parthians and all these different kinds of people. And they heard these people speaking in their own language, but that language the people was speaking was not known to them. And then it goes on and it says that Peter... And we're not, for time's sake, y'all can go back and read it. I don't have that much time. It says that Peter stood up and he began to preach. And it says 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Added where?
To the church.
Now, let's look at Hebrews 10. Now, we read this one last week, but we're going to read it again this morning. I don't think a lot of Christians knows how important the doing of this verse is today. Hebrews 10, we're going to start reading, time's sake, verse 19. It says, having therefore brethren, now we have learned in our study that the church is the body of Christ, right? Well, y'all remember that over there in Ephesians 1, the latter part of that chapter, how it says the exact words, how Jesus is the head of the church and the church is his body, right? 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how every one of us is a member of his body. One's a hand, one's a foot, one's an eye. Y'all remember all of that? So we've been talking about all that. Then we've read the scriptures where it says how that the whole family. So then we got on that, how church is a family. And I think we've done had two or three teachings about how the church is a family, right? So how we're supposed to be together. See, some people think it's just me and Jesus. Yes, you got born again and it became just you and Jesus at the time. Every one of us is supposed to have a personal relationship with him. But then the Bible talks about how that we are called out from the world, but we are called to fellowship with one another. See, a lot of people want to leave off the fellowship with one another. Because, see, I don't have a problem submitting to Jesus because nobody knows what he told me to do or did. See, I get a problem when I get around all y'all. Y'all get a problem when you get around me. Why? Because maybe I don't talk like y'all think I should. Maybe I don't dress like y'all think I... Maybe I tell y'all something to do y'all don't really want to do. Oh, God. Can you feel that? We're getting real quiet now. See, you ain't even begun to serve Jesus fully until you begin to serve people.
Right.
Why? We are his body. I serve you guys. You guys serve me. Over there, they serve one another, right? The Bible says how that we're supposed to look on the things of others greater than even ourselves.
Right.
Right? So we are called to serve one another. And sad to say, we have a lot of say that they're Christians, and they ain't serving nobody but self, and thinks the church should serve them.
Right.
But they don't want our God. Right. Y'all not saying nothing. They don't want to come to church. They don't want no part of the church. But one thing they do want is our money and our prayers. See, Scotty gets a lot of flack. Y'all on Facebook might have noticed. Somebody be on there and they'll be wanting something or whatever. Pray for me or, you know, I need some money or a car or something or whatever their need is. And Scotty will come on there and he'll say, where you go to church? Woo! Golly, Mom, you have 10 people. They didn't ask where we go to church. They didn't say they wanted church. They want help. What's wrong with you? Well, we're trying to find out why you ain't got no help. Or do you have help and won't accept the help? I don't know. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. How can I know you if you don't labor with me? I can't. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Now, let's look here at, 19? Yeah. He says, having therefore brethren, we read the scriptures, why we're brethren. It says, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us, that's every Christian, not just those of us that are here, every Christian around the world, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, that's everybody, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Today, if you dare try to provoke anybody to love and to good works, you're going to get blasted. Because they don't have to love you. You just have to love them. Y'all not saying nothing. But he says, let us. That's everybody that names the name of Christ, right? Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let me read that verse in the Amplified. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Now, I'm reminded of the verse in the Bible. Y'all remember whenever Cain killed Abel?
Yeah.
And God came to him and said, where's your brother?
Yeah.
What did he say? Am I my brother's keeper? I guess God thought he should be. Do you think God's thinking the same thing about it today when you read this verse here? Absolutely. Not that I've got to be all up in your business. He said, do it attentively and with care. Why? Because I love you. I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to see the devil get you. I don't want to see the devil take your stuff. I don't want to see your marriages destroyed, right?
Right.
So therefore, sometimes I may need to get up in your business a little bit. And you should be okay with that. I should be okay with that. Brother Brett has the right to come and get in my business any time, day or night, he wants to. Golly, well, I did not hear one amen. See, that tells you how far we are. Everybody should have said amen. Y'all should have heard Facebook say amen. I'm serious. He goes on and he says, 24 I was reading? Yeah. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Study how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Then he goes on 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. COVID did a major blow to the church. There has been people that was faithful. They believed in going to church. They loved going to church. And after COVID, they do not see the need to reassemble. Or they're in such fear, they cannot bring themselves to do it.
Right.
But God's not going to let it stay that way. He's sounding an alarm to his people. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They had some then and we got some now. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what is that saying there? Well, number one, Jesus said he's going to build his church. So lost people, not born again people, are building material, right? We should be preaching the gospel to them. We should be giving our testimony to them. At any time that the Lord would open a door for us, right? But then at the same time, those that are already born again, that maybe they're not assembling together anymore. For whatever the reason is. They got hurt. Well, boo-hoo. Everybody gets hurt sometime or another.
Amen.
I'm 50 years old and I can't count the hurt since the day I was born that I can remember the first hurt. Right?
Yeah.
I get hurt at Walmart. I get hurt out here on the road. People hurt my feelings. People makes me mad. I don't quit driving. Mom, there's a benefit in it for me. Y'all not saying that.
Yeah.
See, I've got hurt at Walmart. I've got offended at Walmart. By the people there at Walmart. By some of the workers sometimes there at Walmart. But you know what? I went just yesterday morning on my Sabbath. You know what? Saturday's my Sabbath. I believe God wants a Sabbath. One day a week for each of us, he says, and that's a different message. But I went there yesterday morning. Why? Sandy, I gotta eat. So it don't matter how much you hurt my feelings. It don't matter how much you offend me or anything else. I'm still going to Walmart. Why? There is a benefit there for me. I see it and I know it. A lot of people today, they do not see the benefits of assembling together in the house of the Lord with the rest of the body of Christ. Listen, I can think I am the brightest bulb, me and my little four no more. I'm the brightest bulb in the box, but let me get out of my little box and get over in somebody else's box, and I might can see I'm pretty dim. And that doesn't feel good, but it's good for me.
Right.
So it doesn't matter, I still go to Walmart because I see the benefits. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is the benefits of the church. Now one of them that we've already saw, Jesus is the head, right? I mean, we read that verse over and over and over. And it talks about how that Jesus is the head, the church submits to Jesus, just like the wife submits to the husbands and the children obey, right? Y'all remember all of that?
Yeah.
Well, he has a place that if you've got born again, it's your job to find out what that place is, where you're supposed to be. Get in there, start loving people and loving the Lord. You'll grow and develop, and whatever he's placed in you, the Bible says your gifts will make room for you. We got Christians running around all over the place looking for somewhere to play their guitar, somewhere to play their drums, somewhere to sing, and somewhere to preach. Ain't none of y'all in here looking for no work. We'll put you right to work. But those that are out there that are looking from somewhere and they come here looking, they usually don't last too long. Why? They ain't doing nothing. Why? We don't, number one, we don't know you. Who are you? Listen, ain't no man comes to my house and tells me what to do but my husband. Ain't nothing. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. You can be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You're not fooling me none. See, I'm to love everybody, but nowhere in the scriptures do you find God said, trust everybody in what they say.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm called to love everybody, but I'm not called to trust you. Trust gets earned.
Right.
It gets earned in a relationship. I got to have a relationship with you before I can trust you. Well, I don't know if your words means anything.
Right.
And you shouldn't trust everybody either. Some Christians are so gullible. When God told us, he said, be wise as serpents. Y'all not saying nothing. Be wise as serpents. You better believe, buddy, the devil's crafty. He said, be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. So we got to wake up, right? Whew, hallelujah to myself. That's good, God. Where are we at? Y'all don't know either?
25.
We read 25. Yeah, I remember now. All right, let's go to Acts 12. So we've seen some benefits of the church already. Jesus told them, go tarry in Jerusalem in a certain place. He said, and I'm going, the Father's going to send the power, didn't he? Every one of those that was obedient to Jesus, and listen, there was more than that 12 because we read how that the women assembled with them and Jesus' mother and Jesus' brothers. I mean, there was a whole bunch of, I mean, history says there was about 500, but only 120 of them about at stake. Mm. So reckon how many got the power?
120.
The ones that stay. It's the same thing today. See, everybody likes to quote that scripture, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Woo! Whoa! How much you been tithing? Oh, golly, Mom, I didn't say that. Woo! Did I really say that? Did y'all hear me?
Yeah.
In case you didn't, let me say it again. How much are you tithing?
Yeah, that's it.
How much are you giving? So you need to check on yourself. Don't just quote a verse. Listen, the blessing of the Lord is not money. What the blessing of the Lord is, it is an empowerment for you to prosper and have good success in every area of life. You do the principles of God's word and you be obedient to him in everything that he says to do. And part of that is assembling together with the rest of the body. So you're telling me you get to stay home and go to the lake on Sunday and Wednesday and all this other crap, whatever it is that you do, and all the rest of us got to be assembled in here, and you just quote that verse, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, and you don't do nothing he says, but it's you and Jesus got everything going on? You are fooling yourself. You are majorly deceived. And then you want to come and tell the church how we're supposed to conduct ourselves.
Right.
Are you serious? Where are we at now?
That's 12.
The Lord loves us, amen. That's why he won't let us be deceived. The Bible says in the last days, if it were possible. So that tells me it's not. But there are some contingencies on that if it were possible. So Matthew 25 says that if in the last days, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So that tells me, buddy, we better be in here and we better be doing what he says.
Right.
Because if you get deceived, the problem with deception is you don't know you're deceived, Johnny.
Right.
You truly, in your heart, believe you're right.
Right.
But the thing about that is, in order for you to get there, you got to bypass the Holy Ghost. Y'all didn't say nothing. You got to bypass the Holy Ghost. Why? Ain't nobody going to hell, and ain't no Christian that's been born again going to be deceived without the Holy Ghost trying to bring the truth to you.
Amen.
Ain't none of us going to be able to blame God for our deception, for our going to hell if we go, or us not getting our rewards. Not a one on this earth is going to be able to stand justified and blame God for anything.
Right.
So if I'm deceived, I have already bypassed the Holy Ghost, the inward witness on the inside of me, and I have bypassed the Word of God, and I don't care what my denomination teaches. Sometimes you got to get out from under that denominational junk to see the truth.
Amen.
That was a big problem with the Pharisees. Now let's look at Acts 12. So one of the benefits of the church is I received the power, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm assembled together with those that he told me to assemble together with.
Uh-huh.
And he sent the power to them. And he sends the power to us today. I can't tell you how many times I have seen it, and I have done it in my own life at Faith Restoration before. So just out of the blue, no reason. Had a bad day, seemed like flesh is really, I mean, like flesh, everything, flesh, kids, whatever, fighting me to where I won't go to church. Me and Scotty get into it. This is a Monday, and already I'm thinking, I'm not going to church Wednesday.
Right.
What has that got to do with anything? Your enemy. And sure enough, not go to church that Wednesday or not go to church that Sunday morning, not because I'm sick, just because I yielded to the flesh. The devil was putting pressure on my flesh, and I yielded to it. And then get there the next service. I'm telling you, we had the best service we've had here in 2 years. And I'm like, and I missed it, and I felt like I needed it so much. What happened? Why did Jesus come in my bedroom and zap me with it? Oh, he don't do that? There's people who lead you to believe that he does. But then they live lives of lack. Marriages busted up, kids going wild, finances crazy, stuff tearing up all over the place, and can't figure out because they're so deceived why in the world they have so much trouble. And it seems like God never feeds them or answers them.
Right.
You know where a lot of times your answers are?
In church.
In church. I sound like your pastor, don't I? That man, church, church, church. Get a job, keep it, go to church. Get a job, keep it, go to church. That's all he can ever say. But you know what? If you'll do those two things, get a job and keep it, and go to church, I guarantee you, and obey what the Lord tells you at church. Now, I'm not just talking about parking here, you know, being here or whatever. Do what he tells you to do in church and being a part of the body. I guarantee you, you will gradually begin to see your life straighten out.
Right.
Why? Because it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich in every area. And addeth no sorrow. And toil, the Bible says, your labor doesn't increase it. Charlie, Bob, I got to get on with this. Acts 12. I guess y'all already there. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Now, you talk about persecution. In the book of Acts, I mean, they was persecuted day and night. Saul persecuted them before he became Paul. You know, they didn't just have this, I'm canceling you out, you know, or I'm going to unfriend you on Facebook. Well, who cares? I wasn't looking for no friends when I got on there. I mean, really, just get on there, see what's going on, marketplace and shopping and all kinds of stuff. Y'all, I'm not saying that. Some of y'all care too much about having friends.
Right.
Yeah. If you ain't got the right friends, they'll lead you into trouble.
Right.
Been there, done that. It's one reason I don't have many. Verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forward to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the... Mama prayed for me. Y'all didn't say nothing. Mama should be praying for you. But the scripture says one of us puts 1,000 to flight, two of us puts 10,000 to flight. How many do you think all of us, and not everybody's in here this morning, could put to flight?
Amen.
And it says here... Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. What if Peter wasn't hooked up with the church? What if Peter was a lone ranger out there doing his own thing with just him and God?
Right.
Reckon they would have made prayer for him without ceasing? Probably wouldn't have known nothing about him, don't you think? He says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Now, some of us wouldn't be sleeping. We wouldn't have no fingernails or toenails left. But that's another message. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. He thought, to start with, he might have been dreaming. And from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what?
Praying.
He says, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, And when she knew Peter's voice, how'd she know his voice?
She knew him.
She spent some time with him. It says, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She was so tickled she couldn't open it. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, in other words, be quiet, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, why did I read that whole thing? Because from beginning to ending, God didn't have to say it, but he did for a reason. The church was praying and interceding for him constantly. It said without ceasing, Sandy. A benefit of being a part of the church. See, there's some people, they got no family. Why do people join gangs? And I know there's some different reasons. But most of the time, it's because they want to be a part. They want to have a family. They want to be a part of something that's bigger than them. And sad to say, a lot of times the gangs has more loyalty than the church. And that should never be. You mean we got the Spirit of God and the love of God on the inside of us and the unity of the Spirit? And that's one thing we cannot ever afford to break. And that is the unity of the Spirit. That's one thing that they had that they didn't break. Right? They started out, it said, in one accord, in one place, in one accord, in one place. Do you realize that's the unity of the Spirit? Now, so we see here a benefit of the church is people pray for you. Well, you can pray for me over in Kalamazoo. Well, I might could if Jesus told me your name and told me what he wanted me to pray for you. But most of the time, he don't. And sad to say, everybody that has come here over 20 years, I don't think of you most of the time. Sorry. I ain't seen you in so long. I mean, I got to be concerned about the ones I got right now, you know. I just don't think about you. Now, if the Holy Ghost brings your face up or your name up, I will pray for you. Do you know most of the time we don't? Most of the time I see the ones that's here when I'm praying. So another benefit of the church is you have a family. They love you. They care for you. They pray for you. They intercede for you. Listen, a mother that really knows her kids, your kid can walk in the door. That's like Aiden. Wednesday morning, they spent a night every Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, he got up, and his nose was a little bit red on the end, and he kept messing with it. And I noticed him, he sounded a little bit stuffy. So when I took him home, you know, I told his mom about it and all that, you know, and then later on. A mother that knows their kid, their eyes talk to them.
Yeah.
Your eyes don't talk to me unless I know you, unless you flirty, and then I know that spirit. Right?
Yeah.
We know that devil. Why am I saying that? Because that's your kid. You've seen them on their good days. You've seen them on their bad days. Just as well as some of you guys. Now, Johnny's real hard to read because he pretty much stays the same all the time. Yeah. I mean, every now and then, I mean, a couple times I've noticed a little bit of stuff there. But most of the time, Johnny, he's hard to read. I'm not hard to read because I'm either like, you know. Most time, whatever I am is showing up right here, you know. But another benefit is a lot of times when y'all come in the doors, I can tell something's wrong with you and you don't have to tell me.
Right.
Or you can tell something's wrong with me, but what if you didn't come through the doors?
Right.
I mean, seriously, people, does our elevator not go up sometimes? I'm not talking about us here. Our elevator always goes up. You can tell. You know, the Lord helps it go up. See, the only reason it does. But it's because we're yielding to it. Now, let's go on with this. So you got a church family that prays for you. I've got to get to this in the last few minutes here. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. See, people that's not assembling together wherever God has told them to be on a regular basis, they don't have these benefits going on in their lives. And they can't figure out for the life of them, Sandy, why they're suffering. I have seen it just as well, I'm telling you. People, they tell me, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay, great. Well, that's the Lord, you know. Believe God. By faith. It's not by your works or whatever. And I said, God has had me teach them the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you how many times baptism of the Holy Ghost at Sunday school. And them very same people, Sandy, that tells me what I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm ready. I got to wait on God. He's got to tell me my message, or I don't have one.
Right.
You know, and what is what in whatever he's saying. And I'm ready. They say they want him. And lo and behold, my message will be baptism by the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. I can't find them. Are you kidding me? Do you know how discouraging that is?
Right.
Very. You say you want him. I'm ready and willing. And finally God says, today's your day, and you're not here. You think he goes over and zaps you with the Holy Ghost of tongues while you lay in the bed? I don't know if I get that out of my eye. No. No. Why? Number one, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People think Jesus went about healing and that's all he done. No, he didn't. You read the scriptures. Everywhere he taught. Yes, he healed, but he taught and he preached the word. Why? That's how faith comes.
Right.
He didn't tell them, I'm the Son of God, is why I can do this. Believe I'm the Son of... He didn't tell people he's the Son of God. Right? He talked about himself as being the Son of Man all the time. So if you're having a problem... And you've been praying, and listen, there is nothing, I don't know of anything. If you ain't been praying, like a good trial to get you in gear. If you ain't been drawing close to God, a good trial will help you.
That's right.
So if you've been having a problem, and you've been praying and talking to God, you know how most of the time he's going to answer you? Church! I can't tell you how many times that me and Scotty has had a problem. And we've been praying and praying and praying to go to church, and Brother Brad read the very thing that we need. Just like that time that he got discouraged and he didn't come to church down here that morning, and I talked him into going to Faith Restoration. If that message was for nobody else, Johnny, and I know it was, God handpicked that message for Scotty.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
What if he hadn't went to church?
Right.
We might not be here today.
Right.
So there is lots of benefits in church attended with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And most of the time, God ministers to the body through the body. He's doing it right now. Gosh, I'm over there in 13. It's supposed to be in 4, right?
Yep.
All right. Acts 4. I'm going to start in verse 23. Now, the story above this is Peter and John, they had got locked up and everything and told not to preach no more in the name of Jesus and all that other stuff. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. They did not go home. They went to the church. To their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Again. And said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, who? All of them. They're assembled together. When they all prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, how many?
All.
Every single one of them that was assembled there were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, if somebody had to step outside because mama's calling, they didn't get him. He says, but all that was in that assembly there, in that place, it shook and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Benefits of the church. And the multitude of them This is a good one. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. Y'all see why I tell y'all, there is no more me. And there's way too much individual thinking of a lot of Christians. They didn't have that kind of thinking. Which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Notice this. And great grace was upon who? Them that was at the flea market. Do you understand, Sandy, with enough grace, there's nothing you can't accomplish. There's nothing you can't be. And this says, and great grace was upon them all that was assembled there together. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I actually heard of a church a couple of years ago that did just this. And that was a pretty good sized church. It was a predominantly black church. I can't remember the name of the guy now, Bishop somebody. But anyway, they was on the 700 Club, and what they had done in their church was this right here. I can't tell you how many times that I have wanted to bring a message that God was saying, let us do this. But I can't. You know why? We're not there. So you got some, they can't even love us long enough to get here. No, I didn't say that, did I? You got some that can't love us long enough and the Lord to tithe and to give an offering. You got some that sign up for ministry and then you don't see them no more. You think we could do this? Go read chapter 5. It's the mercy of God that is not telling us to do this. Why? Then chapter 5 is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Their hearts was not one with them. So what they done to look big to everybody and like they was like everybody else, that their hearts was like, and the Lord knew, they held back. They went and sold their land, sure, but they held back apart for who?
Self.
That is a major killer in the body of Christ. Because we can't operate as God wants the church to operate in her fullness when we're self, or selfish, in other words. But notice here, who did this? All of them that have been assembling together that whole time. Right? We read the verses above it, and then this happened. Nobody told them to do it. I can't find it in the scripture. Where thus saith the Lord, go sell everything you got. I can't find that. But I do find their hearts and their minds and their souls was such one with the Lord and such one with each other. They cared whether or not you had enough.
Right.
And that is the role of the church. But notice who it was to. It wasn't to Joe Bob up there at Gunnersville. It wasn't to the lost. You go on and you keep reading the scripture, and the Bible says they had great fear and reverence among the lost that wasn't involved in the church. They wouldn't even mess with them because they knew God was in that place. They had people dropping dead that lied to the Holy Ghost. You think the lost is going to mess with them? Absolutely not. And we try our best to do that here. We have done that here to certain degrees. I mean, and some of y'all know about some of the things we've done and do and all of that, and some of you don't, you know. I mean, that's just like Matthew's stepmom died, you know, and they got things out everywhere and had part of the money for her tombstone. Well, this church paid the rest of it for them. Matthew was a part of this body. You know, I mean, Monty and April, you know, when they felt like the Lord wanted them to buy that house and everything, and don't think I'm revealing anything. I've asked these people, can I tell the story? For a purpose, and I'll tell you the purpose in a minute. when they felt the Lord wanted them to buy this house and we talked to them. And I guarantee you, if you ask them, Teresa grilled them a little bit. We just didn't hand over a check.
Amen.
Listen to my dad. Why? I feel a great responsibility. That's not my money.
Amen.
That is the Lord's money. But anyway, and they felt like the Lord wanted to buy this house, but they didn't have all of their down payment. Now, Monty, that was a first. Nobody had ever talked to us about that. That was a first for this church. You know, they didn't have all of their down payment, but they believed it was the Lord. You know, when we believe, they hear from the Lord, and they're faithful here. I mean, they've been faithful here for years, you know. They're here. They work in the ministry. They labor among us and all of this stuff and everything. So this church, all of y'all that are tithers and givers, now, if you ain't a tither and a giver, you didn't have a part in this.
Right.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say you did, because you didn't. You have a part in them getting their house. God made it that way for some reason. I don't know.
Hallelujah.
And so he opened the door, and this entire church had a part in them receiving their blessing that they believed God for I don't know how many years now.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I just want to make it clear. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, this is in your hand. You know that if we don't get some help, then I don't have a place to live.
I thought that's what I said. But, okay.
I just.
Yeah. Okay. There's been other things. You know. I mean, just like whenever Destiny got sick, the Lord told me that morning to bring a check down here from the church for $2,000 to give Stacy and Richard, because see, at that time they hadn't got hooked up with St. Jude yet, which paid for everything. And Sandy, I think that morning was going to do something for him, and the Lord told you, what was it? I didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah, I told you not to.
But see, out of her heart of compassion, she wanted to. I've been going to buy Cassandra a car. The church was going to buy her a car, and something come up, things got changed or whatever, so I told the Lord, well, God, I'll buy her a car. He said, no. Sorry. Sometimes he says yes, but sometimes he says no. Now, what does that mean? God doesn't want her to have a car? Absolutely not. He may want her, and the desire of her heart may be beyond what the means that I have to do it.
Right.
And listen, she ain't not attended church because she didn't have a ride.
Right.
Y'all remember when he told the apostles or whatever? He said, go into the cities and towns. Don't take no extra club. Don't take no food. Don't take no purse. Don't take no money. And they come back and he said, did you lack anything?
No.
Cassandra, have you lacked anything? Sometimes God will say no. Because he wants you to see his faithfulness time after time after time. I don't know why he does things. And I've got to stop because actually our time is up. I mean, I could go on. Now, you know, and some people would think, well, you shouldn't say that stuff because people's going to start asking for money. Well, I can tell you flat up, we ain't buying grandma's teeth. We're not paying enough. We do our best to be led around here.
Right.
Amen.
Does anybody have anything quickly before?